All right, starting up our shiur this evening for Parshas Tazria Metzora, and we'll go right into the text. I'll pull it up for you. Here we go. All right, Kli Yakar. Here we go. So we're talking about Tazria Metzora. Obviously, is a parsha that has this mystical. I don't want to say mythical. God forbid, it's not mythical, but this mystical malady called Tzarat. Now we want to translate it, or the modern translation is leprosy, but we know it's not leprosy. We know it's. I'm sorry. Oh, we know that it's some kind of malady, some kind of illness. But how do I know for sure that it's not like sort of that medical condition called leprosy? That is a condition, was much more prevalent way back. Is because who diagnoses it? If you look in the Torah, it says, Adam ki yeh be'or b'saro seido sakatan. Some sort of blemish, some sort of something, a wound, a flesh wound, a burn. It's, it has these different appearances. It's white, it's burnt, whatever. So if you have this thing, well, what do? You bring it to, not to a doctor, you actually bring it to the Kohen. And, that to me is proof positive, not just to me, to the Nesuvah Shalom, and to others, is proof positive that the tzaras malady, the affliction, has to be some sort of spiritual state of being. Here, I'll read for you the pasuk. It says, this is in Yud Gimel pasuk bet. It says that you have orbis arosedo sapachad baheret, and you see it in your flesh. You bring it to Aaron, or you bring it to one of his children, one of the other Kohanim. And the Kohen sees this affliction, and it's this, it's that. And again, it says, the Kohen will see it if it has certain, if it has a certain appearance, or if it's, a certain, basically, he makes a diagnosis. It's a spiritual, by definition. If there were a physical, some sort of physical malady, that would be a physical malady. But no, it's the Kohen who is meant to diagnose it spiritually. What's going on? So obviously it has the appearance of something. But again, it's not some, your regular type of skin condition. So Kli Yakar wants to dive into this a little bit more. And he says, "Be'inyan atzarat, yesh deo chalukot." He says, there are different, varying opinions as to what tzaras is. Ki yesh omrim shem choli tivi, nistar betoch haguf, umibatz beitz lechutz. He says, some people say that, it's a physical, medical condition. It's a natural malady, some sort of something, some infection or wound or whatever. And it lurks under the surface of the skin, and it comes out, umibatz beitz lechutz, and it like kind of bubbles over. And makes itself known. V'yesh omrim, she'akol ba al tzad ha'onesh. And there are those that say, no, that all of this comes through some sort of, it's a punishment. Ligalot al ra'ato, to reveal some sort of ra, some sort of bad thing, some sort of negative trait that's going on. So someone asked, is this today psoriasis, eczema? No, God forbid. Like I'm trying to explain, it's not anything that's a diagnosable illness or a condition today. That definitely not. Anister bekirbo, and it comes to, it's basically revealing some internal defect, some internal character flaw, a spiritual flaw, and then eventually it comes out. Anister bekirbo. And he says, however you look at it, nira lila faresh, lashon mitzora, shehi mila morkevet. And he says, okay, however you look at it, what I can tell you is this. The word mitzora is a mila morkebet. It's a composite of two words. Motzi ra. Someone who finds evil, or evil is found. Shemigale umotzi lachutz kol ra'ato shebekirbo. For what it does is, it reveals and is able to pull out lehotzi into the lachutz, right, into visibly into the outside world, all of the evil, all of the negative, the bad stuff that's on the inside. You know, this is very similar. And he says, ha'ipush hapnimi. It's like the internal rot within you. You know, I'm dealing with something right now. We have like a leak, and it's going through the ceiling, and we sort of have to figure out what to do with it, from a bathroom or through ceiling in the den. And, you know, we have to figure out what to do. And, you know, we're looking at it. Okay, there's the leak. That's very nice. But guess what? The leak has been going on for a long time. When we were talking, we have these tiles, you know, the bathroom tiles. They've been there for like 50, you know, really like 70 years. It's an old bathroom. And you know, I'm talking to someone like, wait a minute. Well, if the water has been leaking for years, it's not just a leak that, you know, that comes down. What's probably, if you ripped up the tile or we ripped up the ceiling, what are we going to find? Good, true. But what are we going to find underneath, right? It's a wooden house. What are we going to find underneath? Rotten wood and probably mold also. Yeah, moisture, which turns to mold, which turns to rot, which is not good, right? Ipush hapnimi. He's saying there's internal mold. There's internal rotting that we as people have. And what this affliction, the malady of tsaras does is it brings that out into the forefront. Right? That's the water that's dripping out. Oh, guys, there's water. Oh, it's much more. It's much deeper. There's a lot more going on. Or think about there's a famous story. I won't tell you the story. It's called Schwarze Wolf. It's a famous Karlbach story. I probably told it over once before Kol Nidre, before Neila. But there's a movie, I would say it's based on this, but it basically is, but it's not based on it. But it's the same idea. The movie's called Nanny McPhee. It was a movie that was out when my kids were younger. Many of our kids were younger. And it's about this nanny that comes. The kids have like the whole family has this major issue. The mother passed away and the kids are running around wild and the father doesn't know what to do and how to be and what. And the kids are like maniacs. And this nanny comes. And she has physically, it's hard to look at her. She has a wart and she has the hairs coming out. It's like she, you know, kind of a caricature of someone who's like a scary looking type person. And every time she teaches another lesson to the kids, what happens? This disappears and then that disappears and the burn on her skin disappears and she starts looking, you know, pleasing to the eye, right? Until ultimately she's transformed. And what's the point? The point of the movie is she only transforms in terms of the way that she's seen when the kids are transformed in terms of the ipusha pnimi that they have inside. They're missing their mother. They're running wild. They're not considerate. They're not this. And all of a sudden they start growing. The more they start growing, the more they start changing. All of a sudden they see her in a different kind of way. And really, really what it shows is, right, that ultimately she never looked like that. She was always, it doesn't matter how a person looks, but she didn't have these deformities. Those deformities were a manifestation of what was going on in their neshama, right? That's the Schwarze Wolf story. If you Google it, you'll find the Schwarze Wolf story. It's a famous Karlbach story. And that's what's happening here. That's what tsaras is. Hein imu maka re'ehu b'seter. Bishot, lishono, veina brio yodin li shamir mimenu. If you smite your fellow, how do you smite your fellow? Beseter, privately. How do you do it? By maligning your friend, by speaking ill of him or her, right? You're speaking lashnara, slander, right? Gossip. Veina brio yodin li shamir mimenu. And no one knows. Al kena kodesh baruch hu. So no one knows that, like, you know, this person is like venom. you know, this person spews. We know, unfortunately, we've all encountered people like this that literally spew venom, right? They just have always a bad thing to say, Nebuch, right? They're always looking, right, to find the bad in you or gossip and whatever. So people don't know to stay away from this person because they only do it behind closed doors, right? And they're doing it in secret. So comes HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Ahu mefarsim al hanefim umotzi kol ra'ato lachutz kedei shetegale ra'ato b'kahal. So comes God and he publicizes these hanafim. A hanafim are flatterers, meaning they're what we say, echad ba'pev, echad ba'lev. You see them on the outside. Oh, how are you? It's so nice to see you. Blah, blah, blah. And then you walk by and you're like, did you see that guy? What a jerk. You know, I'll tell you what he did or she did. And blah, 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 blah. Right? They're fake. They're not real. So what does a God do? God gives them this malady. And now you know. Oh man. Oh, stay away from that person. And by the way, what's the punishment of the person? How do you fix the tzarat? How do you fix the leprosy, so to speak, the spiritual malady? What do you have to do to this guy or girl? We should know. Hello, you send them into quarantine, right? 7 days, 7 day quarantine, right? I think Israel's on 7 day quarantine, right? Or is it 10 days still? I don't know, right? 7 day quarantine. Where do you think it came from? It came from the Bible. What? Right? Like Miriam, exactly. Right? What? Correct, right, but tshuva is sparked by that individual going into isolation and realizing, right, that, you know, they didn't realize how bad they were, clearly, right? There was that internal rot, and now that internal rot is coming out, and the rot is seen or felt on the outside. He's saying, what the Kliyok is saying, interestingly, is that, you know, it could have been it was a physical thing also. It could have been it was a medical thing, but the point was, it came for a certain reason, right? Whether it was spiritual, totally mystical, spiritual, or it was a physical, medical thing, it all came for the same reason. Motzi ra. What you're doing is you're bringing out into the forefront that this individual, you have issues, man, right? You know, it's almost like a divine intervention. And it's a play on words, right? When you say divine intervention, God played a role in your life. But what's an intervention in psychological terms, right? You see, you know, a person is on a bad, in a bad way. A person's a drug addict. Person's alcoholic. Person is whatever. Something's going on. And what do? You get, and they can't see it for themselves. So you sit with them, right? You, your family say, this is hurting me. This is going on. This is, you know, you need to recognize what's happening. That's Hashem is giving you a divine intervention, right? I'm loving this pun that I just came up with. I think it makes sense, right? It's a divine intervention, so that you know that you have this issue. Motzi ra, to find the evil. Now, it's interesting. I always look at it like this as well. Motzi ra, why is the metzora called a motzi ra? Because he or she always finds the bad in everything, right? It shows us how important it is to try to be positive. Even when it's so difficult, even when it's almost impossible to try to be positive. We hear about, I remember reading about the Lubavitcher Rebbe in Telushkin's Rebbe book. And Lubavitcher Rebbe, it bothered him even to use words that are bad, that have a negative connotation. He didn't like to do that. And he was very against, remember, this stuck with me. He was very against when the modern state of Israel was coming about. How do you say hospital in Hebrew? Beit Cholim? Thank you, Marilyn. Says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, what? You call a hospital a Beit Cholim? A house of sick people? That's not good. How's a person ever going to get better if they think that they're sick people? What should you call it? What do you think you should call it, says the Lubavitcher Rebbe? Call it a Beit? Thank you. Call it, you're on a roll, Marilyn. Call it a Beit Refuah, said the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Baruch. Call it a house of healing. Isn't that what it is? House of the sick. And obviously, the Beit Cholim stuck. But that's the point. Interestingly, what do we call a cemetery? You want to say we call it a Beit HaKvarot. We actually don't. A Beit Chaim, very good. The traditional way of referring to a cemetery is a Beit Chaim, a house of life. Or Beit, you've probably heard this before, a Beit Almin, Ayin Lamed Mem Yud Nun, a Beit Almin, which means the house of worlds, right? There's this world and the next world, as opposed to saying, oh, this is the house where dead people are, right? This is the place where dead people are, right? We don't do that, right? So the words are important. And that's the idea of the motzi ra. Motzi kol ra tolachutz. Fine. Ubezemi yushava kefal bepasuk sha'amar adam ki hiye be'or besaro se'et v'gomer v'haya be'or besaro l'negat zarat. He says, and this is how we could explain why it says, there's a double language. There's a redundancy in the pasuk where it says, if a person has in the flesh of his body, a se'et, whatever, some sort of flesh wound, v'haya be'or besaro l'negat zarat. And then it says again, he's in the flesh of his body. Why does it say that? Tarti or besaro lamali. Why does it say in the flesh, in the on the skin of his body twice? Why does it say that? Elalomer lecha shezehu aseet vehashever ilu hayu beish tahor hamachshavot lo ayu mazikin ki benakel lerapotan ach mitzare yotem beor besaro shelzehachote al kena asu. He says it's to teach you that this is the issue. The se'et and the shever, the thing that's broken is if it was a pure person with ilu hayu be'ish tahor hamachshavot lo yamazikim binakel lerefuot, he'd be able to, you could heal them and it'll be okay. But the fact that it was found in the flesh of his body, shelzeachotei, alkeina asula negatzarat, it kept going. You just can't fix it. You try to heal it in a normal way, and it's not getting healed. So it's telling you something else. There's something else going on. It's not just a flesh wound, right? This is deeper. This is more than skin deep, right? This goes down to my neshama. Umizematzulahem chachmei toratenu smach. And this is how our rabbis found an allusion to this. V'rubam yatzu l'ilkot min ha-toru min ha-navim ha-ksubim al ezo avon prati ba'in ha-negaim. And many of the rabbis came to find like some sort of allusion, a biblical allusion from Tanakh, from Torah, from the prophets, from scripture, in terms of what sin this is coming on. Why does this happen to a person? Ki mesechet erchin amruzal al zayin dvarim negaim ba'in. In erchin it says, that's a masechet in Talmud, a tractate of Talmud. It says that negaim, right, sarat, could come for seven things. V'yesh l'kulam smach min apsukim, and each one of them has an allusion for the from verses. Ubebedrish maybe al asar dvarim, and midrashically they bring 10 possible things that it could come because of. It could be the cause of it. V'anu ein lanu esek binistarot min parshazu. Kim v'niglopa umatzinu mikulam remez miparshiyot elu al gimel dvarim. He's like, look, I don't know about seven. I don't know about 10. I see, three. I could see from our parsha, right, forgetting about the other allusions from the Talmud and from the Medrash, from here and from there, and Navi and Ksuv. I have our parsha that deals with a mitzvah, and it mentions three things that could be the possible issue. Ha'achad hu. Alashon Hara, that's the famous one, right? Son gossip, Shekem Pirush Rashi, Lama Kerav Korbanot Tziporim. Why is the sacrifice, the atonement sacrifice for Tzarat birds? Lefisha Osin Maase Patit, because right, they chip chip chatter 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 like birds, chip 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 like birds. They can't stop talking. Lashon Hara, gossip, slander. We know what that can do. Libel can destroy a person. Habedhu al gasud aruach. The second one that we find in the parsha is gasud aruach. It's haughtiness. It's being, an egomaniac, being arrogant. Shnemar v'lakach la mitaher eitz erez ve'ezov. As it says, and you'll take for the purifier a cedar tree and a hyssop branch. Perish Rashi shimig bia atzmo ke'erez, for this individual who made himself or herself haughty, like raised himself up haughty like a cedar tree, right? Look at me, I'm the biggest, I'm the greatest, I'm the best. Yashpilatzmo, he has to humble himself like a hyssop, right? we're gonna knock you down. Hagimel hu, the third is al tsarut ha'ayin. The third is on stinginess. Shenemar uba asher lo habayit, as it says. Excuse me. Jordana wants to add. She's walking by. She wants to add like Eli Melech. And my wife is a righteous, learned woman. Like Eli Melech in Megillat Ruth, in the Book of Ruth, where Eli Melech was the provider. He was the wealthy, aristocrat in his town, in Beit Lechem. And there was a famine and everyone needed his help, you know, to be financially, to be taken care of. And what happened? He left, right? And it was, he didn't care. He was saruta ayin. That's, stinginess. Okay. Vitana dver bishmal al zeshi yiched betalo. Excuse me, Justin, I don't know if you're supposed to be in this room right now, but we're learning. So by all means. Okay. No problem. Vitana dver bishmal al zeshi yiched betalo. Vidavar zeh kolel kama dvarim. Hein chemdata mamon. This encompasses, the love of money, greed. This encompasses theft, thievery, and like we said, it's just being downright stingy. V'tanahu kines mamon shena etc. V'chol shar dvarim amnuyim b'gemar v'ndrashes ein lem smach min parshazu. And he says all of the other things that are mentioned in the Medrash, in the Gemara, the 7, the 10, that doesn't have an allusion to this to our Parsha, right? I'm going with what's written right here in the text. Therefore, I found that this divine intervention that comes about is upon three glaring issues within that can corrupt the heart of a person that fester within us and if we don't deal with them. Lashon Hara, Gasuda ruach, haughtiness, and chemdat amomon, and greed. Uklalama pasuk haomer, and then he quotes a pasuk, that deals with it. And essentially, that is the story, according to Kliyakar, of Mitzora. It comes from Motzira. Hashem is taking the bad that was internal and making it external. And it's on someone who has these issues based on what we've seen through the psukim. And it's very similar, actually. If you look at the three, you can say it's similar to the three things that in Pirkei Avos are that there are three sins that are motziyana ta adam min ha'olam, that take a person out of this world. What are they? Anyone know? Kavod. Beautiful. Beautiful, Adam. Hakina, jealousy. Hataiva, the lust, desire, and kavod. And honor. How would we match these up? Lashon Hara, haughtiness, and chemdat amamon. Lashon Hara is kinna. It's jealousy. Why do we speak ill of our fellow, of the neighbor, of someone? Because we're jealous. Ultimately, we're jealous. It's like what our parents always said to us, right? If someone was mean to us, what do we say? Or what do we say to our kid? So-and-so's mean to me. They're jealous of you. Right? It's jealousy, right? We look at someone else and say, oh, I wish I could be that way. Right? So we speak ill of them and we try to knock them down. Gasuda ruach haughtiness. That's a pursuit of kavod, right? You just want honor and prestige. That's kind of what you're thinking about. And we know what that brings, the kind of terrible things that could bring upon ourselves and how that festers inside a person, someone who is, to use the psychological term, someone who's narcissistic. It's just not good, right? The chemdat hamamon and the greed, that's taiva, right? That's lust. Why do I want it? I want more money. I want more this. I want why? Because I want another gadget and I want another car and I want another house and another vacation. Again, it's nice to have these things. We should appreciate them. But these are things. If we live our lives just dedicated to the pursuit of these things, and this is how we do it through lashon hara and haughtiness and greed, it's motziyana ta adam min ha'olam. It takes us out of this world. Why does it take us out of this world? Well, think about what do we do? You're a mitzora. Where do we send you? Yeah, you're going into quarantine. you need to sit alone for a while and realize that you know what your issues are, what your problems are, and you know you're not a pleasure to be around if you're acting this way. On a deeper level, what it means is this: why does that individual have to be Yeshev Badad? Why does the Metzora, the one who has tzaras, have to literally sit in isolation? Because he or she literally is in his or her own world. No one exists outside of themselves, right? If you're constantly focused on other people and what they have that you don't have, who are you thinking about really? You're not thinking about them, you're thinking about yourself. If you're constantly focused on Gasud HaRuach, on yourself and your power and how a person, you know, did they say hello to you nicely, properly? Did they give you the kavod that you're supposed to? Again, who are you focused on? Yourself. And if you're only and if it's about greed and what you can amass, and again, what's it for? It's for you. Therefore, it's motzien sa'adim min ha'olam. Oh, the only person that matters in this world is you and nobody else? Well, guess what? Why don't you go and sit alone for a while and really get and really understand how that feels so that ultimately you can come back and rejoin society and realize that life is meant to be lived amongst others. And when people have other things, we should be happy for them. And when people, you know, aren't totally focused on you, that's a good thing. You should focus on them. It's much more fulfilling. It brings meaning to your life by being a Baal Chesed, by doing good things and charity for others. And that when you have what you have and you're content with what you have, that's the most important thing. I'll end with this. My grandmother, towards the end of her life, she came upon this. I had heard it before, and she was so excited by it. She said, Jonathan, do you ever notice that the word osher with an ayin means wealth? But it also has another meaning. If it's spelled with an aleph, it means meaning. It means being fulfilled or happy. I said, yeah. And she said, someone gave me this bracha. And she said, I want to give you the bracha, Jonathan. You should have a life of osher, wealth, with an ayin, and osher, with an aleph. You shouldn't want for anything. You should have what you need. And you should be fulfilled. And you should be happy. And you should be content. Because ezu ashir, who is happy, who is content? Hasamech b'chelko. May we all be zoche to be content with our lot, to not, God forbid, talk about other people, to not only think about ourselves, and to not want what everyone else wants, but actually to be happy with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. And may we never be tested with the divine intervention of tzaras. Thank you so much, everyone. Yeah.